Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We seek to be Christians. The apostles were called Christians first at Antioch. The emphasis of the name Christian is to be Christ-like. Those who live like Christ lived are referred to as Christians. Now, we know there's every level of maturity in Christianity from one who's just got saved, knows nothing about the Bible, nothing about, the intricate details of the Word. They just got saved. They're a babe in Christ. The Bible calls them on the milk diet, like a baby. And they're to desire that milk, just like a baby desires to be fed. You don't feed a baby, they'll let you know real quick it's time for feeding. And we had four children, still have them. Our oldest one's 50 years old now. You say, I didn't think you was much older than that. Yeah. I just had a birthday. I'm 73 years old now. Tell you what haunts the back of my mind. My dad died at 74 years old. Joy's parents, mother and father, both deceased. My parents are both deceased. Now we're the old folks in the family. I seek to be Christian in how I live and what I say and what I do. I fall short, but I've been saved for a long time. I've studied the Word of God through over and over and over and over again. I'm blessed to be called into the ministry and be able to go to a Bible college and graduate from graduate school. And I have learned a lot about the Bible, but every time I read it through, I learn something new. God wants us not just to be Christians. God wants us to be exemplary Christians. The word exemplary means serving as a model or an example. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 through 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Right away, your mind will go to some incident that's happened in your life, some hardship you've gone through, and you would say, this is God in all things working together for good. Death of loved ones, all those kind of things, it's hard to see the good in that. But we learn through life and its hardships and difficulties, number one, to draw close to God. Number two, to have the example of his comfort coming to us so that we can comfort someone else when they go through that kind of hardship. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is working in us to conform us to be like Christ, his beloved Son, the one perfect example of man. The one who came to earth and took on flesh to be a man so he would be related to us so he could die in our place and offer himself as a sacrifice to the Father. Now the Lord wants us to live as exemplary Christians, as to be conformed to Christ, to be like Christ. We've got a long way to go, don't we? But there are little things that help us all along the way. The trials and tests make us stronger, make us more aware of the need of the Lord, make us learn things about prayer and getting close to God. To be Christ-like, having the qualities and demonstrating the life that Christ lived, we're to live now until he calls us to heaven to be with him forevermore. Christ was evidently a man of love and grace and kindness and humility. And he was always spiritual. He always knew the right thing to do. He could tell the difference between things that might take us some time to figure out what's of the Lord and what's working against us as the devil. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2 with me in your Bible. Philippians 2:5. You probably read it many times. Some of you may could memorize it. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now we go through many trials and tests in life, as Christ went through the worst of trials and tests in the adult life that he lived. He humbled himself to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you study anything about the death of the cross, the punishment, the agony, the shame, all that went with it, you can imagine how anyone would want away from that. In verse 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working through us and in us for his good pleasure, to make us conform to the image of his Son, that we might help others come to know the Lord and be working in us. Are you working for the Lord? Are you serving him in your life? Are you doing more than just coming to church when you come? Are you studying your Bible more than you're just carrying your Bible? It's important that we do these things if we're going to be an exemplary Christian, because God's at work in us to will and do of his good pleasure. Verse 14 and 15 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. We are a grumbling, complaining people. I get lots of complaints, lots of grumbling. And most of the time it's over the most insane little things that people get upset over. If you go back and study the nation of Israel, what God did to them for murmuring and complaining, you'll cut back on murmuring and complaining a whole lot. Fiery serpents allowed to come out and sting you and kill you, you know, and all that kind of thing, because we murmur and complain. In all things, we're to give God thanks. We're to give him praise. Lord, I know it could have been worse. I know that maybe you're using this somehow to teach somebody something, including me. I praise you. The pattern for us to follow to be an exemplary Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is at work in us to conform us to his image through learning and obeying the Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible. It's important that we learn the Word of God, apply it in our life. God is using the circumstances of life that we go through as a proving ground, as a boot camp to train us and mature us so that we're ready for the warfare we're about to go into. Practicing what we learn as God's will. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. To walk as he walked. You're very fortunate if you had a person who was a strong Christian disciple who discipled you in the faith. Gain knowledge of the things of the Bible, the person of Christ. You're very fortunate if you've been discipled by someone like that. Because we all fall short of spiritual perfection until the day we get a new body with the Lord. We have a body like his body, and we'll see him as he is, and we shall be like him in that day. Until that day, as long as you got a human body, you're going to battle the problems of sin. We ought to grow stronger and better. Our faith should be stronger to believe God. We should have a closer walk with God. And we should be developing with the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit through our life. How many of you ever heard of a preacher in California named John MacArthur? Okay, I have a number of his commentaries. John MacArthur is like a fundamental Presbyterian or something. You know, he's a Bible church, Grace Bible Church in California. He is a great teacher. He's got a few things I don't agree with, but he's got way more I do agree with than I disagree with. He went to Ireland. And he went there for several reasons, but one reason he went was he wanted to see the places where his father had been there and held revivals. His father had gone there and held a revival in Belfast, Ireland. While he was there visiting the sites, a man came up to him and he said, "Are you John MacArthur?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I knew your father. When he was here holding the revival, I got saved. And there were two men with him." He said, "What has happened to them? Is your father still strong in the faith?" He said, "Oh yes, he's still ministering full time continuously." He said, "What about the other two men that came with him?" He said, "I'm sorry to tell you, no, they're not." He said, "One of them has passed away from alcoholism. And one of them has become an apostate, no longer believes the things of the Bible and the things of God." Three men went to Ireland and held a revival meeting. One of them was still serving God strongly, but two of them had turned away from the faith, had gotten caught up in sin, had passed away because of their sin. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, we can see the right examples that influence us to become the examples for others. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We were in 1 John, but turn way back to the Gospel of John. Chapter 15. Sister Cheryl's home today with her neck bothering her. Pray for her. Hopefully it's nothing worse than sleeping wrong or something, you know, that she'll feel better. I'm burdened for Daryl to get well, for them to find what he needs to be healed of his problem he's gone through. John 15. The Lord Jesus loved his disciples until the end. After he ate supper with them, in verse 4, he said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." He said, "You are clean through the word," in verse number 3. Jesus arose and took a towel and girded himself with it. He poured water in a basin and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, foot washing was a common thing in that day. Most wore sandals. They traveled on foot wherever they went. Their feet would become dirty, tired, and weary. And if you came into someone's house as a guest, it would be a common thing for them to have a servant to come and wash your feet and maybe even anoint them with oil. And that was a blessing in that day and time. And Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He told them that he would wash their feet. And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, I don't have anything to do with you." Peter said, "Okay, Lord, not just my feet, wash my head, wash me all over." Jesus said, "Just your feet are unclean. And once you wash your feet, you're clean." It's humble servitude that Jesus was demonstrating to them. And he said that you are to do this for each other. Humble servitude. We remember the story of a good neighbor that Jesus taught. He taught we're to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And he was questioned, who is our neighbor? Is it the person that lives on either side of us, across the street? You know, who is our neighbor? And Jesus told them the story of the Good Samaritan. In Luke 10, if you want to look there, can't find my place. You know the story. The Good Samaritan. Verse 33. I must be in the wrong chapter. I'm in chapter 9. Thank you, Bible scholars. It's good to have them. All right, this tells the story beginning with verse 30. Jesus said, "A certain man went down to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they wounded him and took his clothes, his raiment, and left him laying by the roadside. And a Levite came by. And he, verse 32, he looked on him and passed on the other side. Before that, a priest had come by, and he likewise just saw him and passed on. Did nothing to help him." I think these kind of represent the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law couldn't give you any ability to live the commands that were given. It could only point out to you the penalty for not obeying them. But grace is much different in Jesus Christ. He gives us what we need to obey God. The Samaritan came by and saw the man, and he ministered to him. He put him on his own beast, and he bound up his wounds with oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Jesus said to these listening, "What now? What do you think? Which of these men was a neighbor to him that fell among thieves?" And they said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto them, "Go and do thou likewise. Be a neighbor to others. A neighbor's not just somebody that lives beside you. It's anybody who has a need that you can help. As a Christian, when you help people, they know that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're helping them because of your relationship with God. Neighbor is anybody that's got a need that we can help. I ask you, are you a good neighbor? Are we a humble servant to other believers, willing to wash their feet or take care of the basest of needs? I want no crown this morning for doing it, but when I went down to check on the Spanish church place this morning in the front of the gym, I looked over and right in one of those windows, there was about 20 dead bugs laying there. So I got a tissue and I scraped, got them all up and put them in my, I believe I put them in my car. If any of them's alive, they may be wandering around out there in that Sonata right now. I did that so that when they came in, they wouldn't have to see that. It happens all the time. Those are those hard little beetles. They come under our doors, and they usually walk around a little bit, and where we've previously sprayed, they will die. Brother Jerry's done a good job of that, and so you see dead bugs, you don't see live ones running around. We've got these palmetto bugs around here. They're giant like cucarachas. That's Spanish for cockroach. And that spray kills them. But if they get in the building, they're going to walk down the edge of the hallway, and sooner or later, if they get a certain distance, they'll die. Some pastors of big churches have servants to do everything. Clean the buildings, cut the grass, you know, pick up trash, do anything of that nature. I've been here 46 years. I used to do all of that for the church. When I was the only employee, there was nobody else to do it. We finally grew until we could add into the budget somebody to cut the grass. Because if I cut the grass, I was going to have to go home and take a shower afterwards if I was going to visit or do anything. Fat people sweat. I sweat a lot. And I'm sweating right now. Y'all see me mop sweat all the time. I'm about to do that. I didn't have a spasm. I just had to get that water out of my eyes so I could see. Also, sweat's got salt in it. It burns, you know. It's taking the minerals out of your body. We are blessed to have Brother Jerry do the cleaning and the grass and stuff like that. It's worked out good for him. It's worked out good for the church. But this is a big place to keep up. One person can't get it all. It's a blessing if we're all willing to stoop down and pick up a piece of trash in the parking lot or out in front of the church. You be careful picking up grass in front of the church. Somebody will run over you if you aren't careful. I come in from the wrong way. I pull over in the grass in the wrong direction and get out and pick up bottles and stuff coming in the mornings. Throw it in the back seat of my car and then bring it all up here. But I wait carefully before I pull back out in the lane, you know, and come up to get in the driveway. Because the speed limit by the church here is about 45, but people drive about 55. When we put that sign out there, we had to buy letters that are prepared to run 55 miles an hour and still be able to read. If we had used smaller letters, people would come right by here, they'd never know what's on the sign out there. All of Jim's work would be for nothing if we didn't have the big letters for him to put out there on the sign. What a blessing it is that he's taken over that responsibility. Are we being good neighbors? Are we being those with a servant attitude? Jesus gave the disciples the attitude of humble service. He humbled himself to go through the experience of dying on the cross. Couldn't get much worse than that. He tells us a neighbor is one who we help. It may require sacrifice on our part. It may be a cost on our part. This man took out 2 pence. That was about the equivalent in his day of 2 days' wages for the average person in Jesus' time period. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "You must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me if you want to be my disciples." To obey him and obey his word, we have to do what the Lord told us to do, not to be a Christian. We get saved by grace through faith. But we're saved by grace through faith to do the work of God. What are we doing for what God has done for us? "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." In Philippians 2:9, we have the example in the Word of God that we are to follow, to imitate, to be like Christ. Disciples were called Christians at Antioch. The apostles suffered many things serving Christ in the spread of the gospel. Now, we're human. We like recognition. We like for people to look up to us. We enjoy being considered one who is knowledgeable of the Bible and the things of the Lord. But most of us would turn tail and run if it was persecution we were facing. But Peter said, after you've suffered a while, the Lord will take you to heaven. We've been called to serve the Lord. They hated the Lord, they may hate us as well. We're getting a day where in the United States of America, those running our country have a political agenda that is totally opposed to what the Bible teaches. And they don't like us, and they don't like what we stand for. They don't like any tax exemption that the church may have. We see that Peter rejoiced in the Lord. He's caused us to be born again, giving us a living hope of the resurrection as he had a resurrection, to an inheritance reserved in heaven for us, wherein we greatly rejoice. We praise God. We are kept by the power of God. But Peter said, "Now for a season you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith..." Your faith is more important than gold. And gold is tested, proved. And your faith is being proved by the circumstance of life that God allows to come into your life to test your faith. 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord nor of me," Paul said, "but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." Do you remember Paul's testimony about everything he suffered for serving the Lord? Beaten, put in prison, the hunger, the thirst, the traveling, the care of all the churches. He said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus." Who are the elect? The chosen of God. You're sitting here saved today. You are the elect. God has chosen you. "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution," Paul wrote to young Timothy. In Colossians, he talked about our daily conduct in chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. To be exemplary Christians, a pattern for the younger, the weaker to follow. God-honoring pursuits with the choices of your life. God-honoring faith in difficult times. God-honoring motives for what we do and do not do. God-honoring leaders in the church. patient service while we wait for the Lord to return. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As believers, we follow the Lord as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sweet savor unto God. Paul's writing says, "For you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Let us walk and live our lives as exemplary Christians, so that others might know who Christ is and how he affects people who love him and serve him. And though we're not asking people to see if they can find fault with us, we don't have to look too far for that. We're asking people to see that all the good that we do is because of the grace of God and for what he has done for us. Let's live the Christian life. Let's be Christians that's strong in the faith, that can eat meat, not just drink milk as babes in Christ. Let's be an example to others of what Christ is. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here today. I ask for your blessings upon them. And Lord, help each of us to seek to draw close to you and live for you and serve you, thankful continuously for all you have done for us, in the name of Jesus. Amen.